Be sure to get some of that as you go out. How about the beach? Nothing refreshes you more than, boy, it doesn't that look refreshing this morning. Or how about the mountains? What else we have there? Oh, yeah. How about a day at the spa or getting a massage? Okay, we have some people in our church actually do that. So we can recommend a few people to you. So, or how about just some solitude, just some quiet time like that guy's doing right there. Isn't that beautiful? How about exercise? We actually have a new wellness group that's getting started, and you can see about that in the What's Up. But this is my favorite right here, is the fishing right there. I love to go fishing out in my daddy's old fishing boat. And ice cream, that's definitely one of my downfalls, but it can be refreshing, especially on a day like today. There we go. Right there. That's very refreshing right there. Or just a nap. Get some sleep. Yeah, rest in the body. And music. I know a lot of us here love music, and music can be very refreshing. Enjoyed that music this morning. So it's good stuff. How about Red Bull? How many of you actually use that to refresh you, Red Bull, huh? That can be a shot inside of you. But anyway, I don't know about all that. So when you think about refreshing yourself, there's a few things that, or several things that I think about. When I think about physical burnout, that's when your body needs rest, right? And some of us might be there this morning, maybe just working yourself to death. Maybe you're working real hard and trying to make ends meet, and it seems like when you get those ends together, they fall apart, and you need to rest your body. How about mental burnout? Sometimes you just need mental rest, you know. Brain work's hard work, right? And those of us that have a job like that, it can be very tiring, and especially at the end of the day when you're going home and you just have no energy left, and that's when your mind needs rest. Or emotional burnout, that's a very real thing. A lot of times it can come from relationships and just be relationally burnt out about things, and that's when your feelings and your emotions need rest. But how about spiritual burnout? That's when your soul needs rest. Okay, and that's what I really want to talk about this morning. It really affects every part of your life. In fact, God told us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we can really learn how to do that, then I believe that we'll truly be refreshed and we'll live life how God wants us to live it. And we'll live it to the fullest. So that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm just going to be sharing with you this morning about several ways, some really neat things that you can do to refresh yourself, to refresh your soul, to renew your spirit. That was my prayer this morning for you guys. You know, as I was singing and worshiping this morning, I was like, God, just I pray that you'd use something that I'd say this morning that would refresh your soul, that would renew your spirit. And so I hope that that happens for you this morning. Okay? So look in the message notes this morning and you'll find that the first thing that you need to do when it comes to refreshing your soul is to put your hope in God. Hope is the anchor of the soul. And we need hope to cope, all right? And we all need hope. And there's some real practical things I want to share with you about hope that to help you put your hope in God, to learn how to put your hope in God. What does that look like? When you put your hope in somebody or something, you know, what does that mean? And especially when it comes to putting your hope in God, sometimes we lose hope, we lose heart, and we need to put our hope in God. We need to renew and refresh ourselves, and redirect and refocus ourselves, and put our hope in God. And I'm just going to share with you a few very practical things that can help you in your everyday life on how to put your hope in God. And here in Isaiah 40 verse 31, God's word says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Don't you just love the sound of that? If you need your strength renewed, put your hope in the Lord, is what it's saying there. They will soar on wings like eagles. Isn't that a beautiful picture? They will run and not grow weary. Yeah, I want that. They will walk and not be faint. That's what I want. That's what you want. We want renewed strength, renewed hope, renewed love, renewed joy. We want to refresh ourselves and in God, and that's what that scripture is talking about. And when we learn to put our hope in God and learn how to do that, then we'll have that renewed hope. So what does that hope look like? One thing it looks like is let God remove your guilt. You know, guilt from something you've done wrong, or maybe something you haven't done that you know you should have done. That guilt or shame that sometimes that come over our lives, it can sap our strength, can't it? You know, there's been times in my life I realized I was doing something wrong, and I was like, man, you know, I just got my focus off, and I had to refocus, and I had to stop what I was doing and get back on track. And sometimes that happens in life, and when we recognize that, we need to turn away from that and let God remove that guilt. Sometimes we pray and we ask God to forgive us, but we don't forgive ourselves, right? That's the hard part, is forgiving ourselves. And maybe it's some deep, dark secret or sin that no one knows about except maybe you and no one else. And if we keep that inside and don't let God remove that and cleanse us and renew us and to clean us up from all that, man, it can really sap your strength. So you've got to allow God to remove that guilt. Acts 3:19, I love this verse. It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. If you want to be refreshed in the Lord, maybe there's something that you're holding on to that you need to give up. And the Bible says repent. You know, that word, that R word, repent. Sometimes we don't like to talk about that word because it's a hard thing to do sometimes when we're enjoying something but we know it's wrong. Well, that's tough. That's when it really gets tough. But repent is one of the most positive words in the Bible, because when you turn away from whatever that is that's sapping your strength, you know that you're doing wrong, then and you turn to the Lord, then, man, you're refreshed. And you have that new hope, new joy, new peace, new love for your life. So some of us this morning, that's where the message stops right there, because you're holding on to some guilt and shame. And some of you don't feel good enough to be here this morning, maybe. Or, you know, some of you have been trying out church, you know, kind of been trying it out, been thinking about it, and you're not sure about this God thing, about Jesus, and forgiving you of all of your sins, and man, you're so hung up about something that you did in the past that was so wrong. But the thing about it is, if you only knew where we came from, you'd probably feel a lot better, right? Okay, we're all saved from the same pit, okay, this morning. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and some of us really just really hold on to that guilt and that shame, and we've got to just kind of like let go and let God and trust God just to totally clean us. Okay? Got to do it if we'll let Him. Also, we have to let God not only remove our guilt, but also let God relieve your grief. Isaiah 61:3 says, to all who mourn, He will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. So some of us this morning might be dealing with maybe some real heartache, and we're really grieving the loss of a loved one. And I know what that pain and hurt can be like when you lose a loved one. Just at 4 years ago, my dad passed away, and I mean, he was my biggest encourager, you know, and you know, I miss him. But you know, I believe God gives extra grace in time of need, and He is a very present help in time of need. And I really got to experience God on a different level when I went through that time of loss in my life, and I began to allow God to comfort me and allow God's people to help me. And it was amazing how the church ministered to me during that time of my life, and how God just began to relieve the grief that was deep in my life. And that was just an amazing thing that God did, how God comforts. God's a God of all comfort, who comforts us in our times of trouble and in our times of loss. And man, we might feel, I mean, like that verse that I read just a moment ago, we might feel just down in the dumps, but God can give you beauty for ashes. And maybe you just feel heavy. If you feel heavy this morning, then you're carrying a load that God never intended for you to carry. And you need to let go of that burden and give it to God this morning. So let God remove your guilt and relieve your grief, and let God replace your grudges. When you put your hope in God, that means that if there's anyone that's ever wronged you or done something mean to you or hurt you, then the Bible says we must forgive as Christ forgave us. And we've got to let go of those grudges. Because, man, when you hold on to a grudge, you're not holding that other person prisoner. You're holding yourself prisoner. And when you choose to forgive, you set the prisoner free, and you find out the prisoner was yourself. And that's the amazing thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is putting your hope in God and trusting God to heal your hurt. It's trusting God to settle the score with that other person, because it's not yours to avenge. It's the Lord's. And God can take care of that a lot better than we can. Isn't that right? And so we let God just heal us of those things. And we allow God to replace our grudges. And He gives us new love. And that's an amazing thing. And you know that you're healed. And you know that you've put your hope in Christ when you can actually pray for that person who hurt you. And you can pray for God's best for them. And you can even serve them and even maybe help them in some way. You know that God has healed you when you get to that point. And sometimes, yes, it's a process. But every time that hurt comes up, God can remove that sting. He can remove that hurt. You just have to ask Him to do it. And we can't do it on our own. He has to do it in and through us. And God can do that. So that's an amazing thing. So how do you refresh yourself? You got to put your hope in God. Something else you got to do is you got to claim a promise from the Bible. Okay? When you're just feeling burnt out spiritually, one thing that refreshes the soul more than anything else, that can renew your spirit more than anything else, is going to God's Word and finding a promise to help you at the very point of your need, and just believing God that that promise is for you, because you know what it is for you, right? It is for you. And there's many wonderful promises in the message notes this morning that I'm sharing with you. The Bible is full of promises to you and to me, and God can do it. God is able. This is for you. And, you know, when I really want to be refreshed, one book of the Bible I go to more than anyone else, and I bet you do too, and you know which book of the Bible that is? That's it. Psalms. Go to the Psalms and read the Psalms and talk about, you know, King David when he went through troubled times. I remember a time that in the Psalms where he said, "Why is my soul cast down?" And it was like he was talking to himself. He said, "Oh soul, why are you cast down? Put your hope in God." Sometimes we got to remind ourselves of that. And that's what the Psalms is just full of. One of my favorite Psalms, of course, is Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now, that's a beautiful picture right there. I don't know of a better picture of rest and relaxation than green pastures, still waters. And God can do that for you, and He can do that for me. In the Psalm 23, go back and read it sometime. And I want to encourage you and challenge you this morning to commit it to memory. Commit it to your memory and believe God for those things, because that it talks about in Psalm 23, because it talks about in there how God restores our soul. It actually says, "He restores my soul." That's what God does for you and what He can do for me. And we need that in our lives. So find a promise. If you've got a problem, God's got a promise to help you overcome that problem. And you need to find what that promise is that deals with your problem. And then, you know, I'm not into this name it and claim it, you know, blab it and grab it kind of a thing, and it just happens, you know. And some people think if they shout loud enough and if they work themselves up enough and they just name it and claim it, then God will just do it. Well, that might be part of it. I don't know. But what I'm talking about this morning is this really digging in God's Word and meditating on that Word and not just saying it with your lips, but living it, applying it, doing it. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the freedom is. That's where the truth sets you free. And, you know, we're right in the middle of a series of messages right now about the Samaritan woman and in the Gospel of John. And we learned last week that the Samaritan woman went to a well to get some water. Obviously, she needed to be refreshed and needed some water. She went to this well, and who'd she meet there? She met Jesus. And Jesus began to share with her some things about her life. And, And then Jesus said something very important right there in that relationship when he was talking with that Samaritan woman. It's in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered to the Samaritan woman. He said, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Man, that's what we need this morning. We all need that. That's the well. When you go to the well of Jesus Christ, it never runs dry. And when you go to Christ, when you come to Christ, the strength that he gives never runs out. He's a great and awesome God. And he can just renew you and refresh you to be who God wants you to be. And a lot of times we go to other wells and we go to other things. We know that Samaritan woman, she had a problem with men sleeping around. And, you know, everybody knew the Samaritan woman in her community. She was pretty popular. And when she put her trust in Jesus Christ and turned away from her lifestyle of sin, came to Christ, she went back to the community, shared with the whole community, this person named Jesus that knew everything about her, told everything about her life, and who made her all new, and then the whole community came to Christ. And the Samaritan woman was one of the greatest evangelists in all of the Bible. She brought her whole community, and God used a prostitute to do that. Now, if God could do that for the Samaritan woman, he can definitely do that for you and for me. And, you know, a lot of people go to other wells to find hope, find strength, to find help. They go to a lot of different wells in life. There's the abuse of all kinds of things. A lot of people abuse drugs or alcohol or they abuse things in their life. Maybe it's a relationship that's not healthy, like the Samaritan woman, and they're trying to find help. They're trying to find hope. And there's like a God-sized void in their life that seems like nothing will fill it. But when you come to Christ, he satisfies that need in your life. And nothing is going to satisfy your soul like Jesus. In fact, we never find real rest until we find our rest in Jesus. Would you agree with that? Have you found that to be true in your life? If you have, raise your hand and say, "Praise the Lord." Yes. That's what God can do. God can do that. Let me just share with you just a couple of other things real quick this morning. I want to share with you in Matthew 11, 23 and 25, it says, "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. It will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." There again, we see the importance of forgiveness. And what I really want you to take away in that passage of Scripture, in fact, you might want to circle it, underline it, is where it says to pray and believe. Pray and believe God for great things. Maybe you don't think you have that great of a faith that can move. Maybe you don't feel like you have mountain-moving faith, like it's talking about in this passage of Scripture here. But if you put your faith in God and trust in God, the simplest act of faith can do great things, little as much when God's in it. And faith is only as great as what you put your faith in. And a lot of people put their faith in things that they shouldn't put their faith in. You know, they put their faith in people or they put their faith in things. But what we need to put our faith in is in God. Have faith in God, the Bible says. And man, when you have faith in God, and when you claim a promise from God's Word, and you put your hope in God, it builds your faith. It grows your faith. Okay? So pray and believe God. Sometimes we pray and we don't believe. We just pray and then we forget what we prayed about. But when you pray and you commit something to God and you give it to God, watch what He does next. Look through the eye of faith. Be ready to watch and see what God does next. He may say yes to that prayer. He may say no. He might say wait. And He always answers prayers. It may not always be the way we want it to be, but He always answers our prayers for our best and for His glory. So something else we need to do is we need to find a refreshing friend. I found that when times in my life where I did get burnt out spiritually, that God sent a refreshing friend my way to just encourage me and to help me. You know, there's just some people that when you're around them, they just refresh you. You just enjoy being around them. You got a friend like that? I hope so. If not, you need to find one. All right? The Apostle Paul, he was a guy that he saw a lot of heartache. He went through a lot of hard things. And sometimes we think of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament as untouchable. You know, he was just had this giant faith and everything. But there was times in his life where he struggled, where he was discouraged, where he felt probably hopeless, maybe helpless. No doubt in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, we read about a time in Paul's life where he was in jail and he was all alone. He was discouraged. He was very lonely. He felt helpless. And let me read this to you, what took place. He says, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygius and Hermogenes." And wow, those are some pretty amazing names there. But anyway, "may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me and he found me." Well, that was a good friend. So who was the friend here? It's Onesiphorus. Have you ever heard of Onesiphorus? Only mentions him twice in the Bible that we know of. It's here in the book of Timothy. And the name Onesiphorus actually means prophet bearer, or one who brings profit. And, you know, there's some people that hopefully that you have in your life that just build you up, that bring profit to your life, that you just benefit from being around them. You know, everybody in life is either a refresher or a drainer, okay? And we've all been around those people who are drainers, right? Okay, been there. And we don't want to be like the drainers. We want to be like the refreshers. We want to refresh people up. And we all go through times in our life that we are drainers. Because, you know, and that's usually when we're discouraged. And no doubt Paul was going through a time in his life, man, he was just drained spiritually. And God sent a friend his way in Onesiphorus. I remember a time in my life it must have been about 6 years ago now, where I was just discouraged and some things wasn't going right at the time in my life. And I just had this picture of how things ought to happen in my ministry and in my life. And this wasn't happening the way I thought it ought to be happening. And I was like, "God, I need a Onesiphorus. God, would you just send a Onesiphorus my way? I need somebody." And no joke, I was praying about that. And it was amazing how God answered that prayer. And I think I've shared this with some of y'all before. It's worth saying it again. God didn't always answer my prayers like this, but sometimes he does. And it was amazing how God answered that prayer, because he sent a man named Jim Wierheim my way. And you can look him up on the internet. He's got this website called halftimetalks.com. And this was when I was in Phoenix, Arizona. And he was just like the greatest encourager during that time in my life. And actually, on the back of his car, on his license plate, was the word encourager. And I was like, wow, what an answer to prayer, you know? And he truly was the Onesiphorus for me, wasn't he, Christy? He was truly my encourager and a refreshing friend in a time in my life where I just didn't have a friend like that. And it was just good to have somebody like that. In fact, it was kind of amazing. I was thinking about it this week as I was thinking about this message. And I was thinking about, you know, how God did that. Because it was just an amazing thing that how God used him in my life to build me up. And he kind of came across as like a used car salesman at first. And when I approach those kind of people, you know, they don't leave a good first impression with me. They're kind of fake and phony. And I just kind of wrote him off a little bit at first. But I gave him a chance and got to know him. And the more I got to know him, I was like, man, this is a great guy. This is really a great guy here. And I was thinking this week about how God did that. And I remembered a time, one of our first visits together, and he said, "Todd, I went through the whole telephone book, went through the yellow pages, and I called every church, every pastor," because he's a motivational speaker, and he wanted to speak at churches. And he said, "Todd, you were the only pastor that talked with me, that was willing to talk with me, sit down and talk with me." And I was like, well, you know, it must have been a God thing, you know. God allowed all those other pastors not to even, you know, talk to him, but God had him for me. So that was just kind of a neat thing. Man, God's a mighty God, and he's interested in the details of our life, and God can do something like that for me. He can do that for you too. And, you know, the Apostle Paul had said a couple of other guys that had deserted him. You know, sometimes you go through life where people desert you and you're all by yourself and you feel lonely. But you know what? There's people here at this church that can encourage you. And I found, even more importantly, you know, not only does everybody need a Onesiphorus, but everybody needs to be a Onesiphorus for somebody else. Did you hear that? And really, to have a friend, you need to be a friend. We've heard that before. But isn't that so true? And I want you to think about that as we get close to closing here this morning. I want you to think about who has refreshed you the most in the past year, and who have you refreshed in the past year more than anyone else? I want you to think about that. You need to find somebody that refreshes you, and you need to hang around them a lot. Especially those of us that have jobs that just drain us and we're around negative people and discouraging people. And maybe you have people in your family that are just drainers and you're around those people all the time. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we like coming to this church, is because there's a lot of refreshing friends and that we can gather around and we can encourage one another and pray for one another and help one another and build one another up. And you need to make sure to have those kind of friends in your life. But more importantly, be that friend for somebody else. Some ways that you can be a friend for somebody else is you can ask them, how can I pray for you? Nothing encourages me more than when somebody comes up to me and says, Todd, how can I pray for you? And a lot of times I'm like, well, I think about that. And if I think about it for a little while, and if they really mean what they're saying, then I can ask them to pray for me about something. And man, that's a beautiful thing. Another way that you can find a refreshing friend is join a small group. And y'all know that I'm always encouraging small groups here at Integrity Church. If you're looking for a small group to get connected with and be a part of, come let me know, and I can get you connected. We have an excellent resource booth back here with some amazing resources back there. You might want to start your own small group with your friends. Gather your friends together, say, hey, let's have a cookout. And you know, when y'all come over, I just want to share a devotion with you and have a time of prayer together. You could do that. Your friends would respect you and love you for that. That'd be a wonderful thing. Say, hey, family, friends, let's get together and borrow one of these resources back here. Use it and have a great time together and pray for one another. And join a small group or start your own. And then be a refreshing friend. Proverbs 11:25 or verse 26 says this, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's the point we want to get at. I have several options here, recommendations, several things that you can do, 8 practical ways to be a refreshing friend. Now, I'm not going to go through all of those this morning. They're in your message notes this morning. But think about them. One that I do want to point out is that learn the other person's love language. Now, if you hadn't done this in your marriage, you need to do it. We talk about the 5 love languages here. And we have the resource back here on the resource booth. You can borrow it and then bring it back when you're done. Find out what your spouse's love language is and what yours is. And the best thing about that study is that when you find out what your spouse's love language is then you can better communicate love to them. And there's at least 5 different love languages that it talks about in that. And some of us just receive love in different ways. It might be words of affirmation. It might be physical touch. It might be giving of gifts. It could be something else. It could be other things. But you need to find out what that is. So if you're wondering what that's all about, well, we have it back there in our resource booth, and you can figure that out. Let me just share with you in closing this morning one more thing that I think is going to give you encouragement and build your life more than anything else. And here it is. It's number 5 in your outline this morning. And it says there, build a strong personal relationship with Jesus. Boy, that's profound, isn't it? Wow. Nothing's going to build you up more than building Jesus up and building that relationship with Him and worshiping Him and serving Him and praying to Him and praying in Jesus' name and just building that relationship with Him. Matthew 11:28-30 says this, and this is like one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, and it says, Jesus says, come to me all you who are weary and burdened. Is that you this morning? That could be you. Jesus has good news for you. He says, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So this morning, we're going to invite you to come to Christ and give you an opportunity this morning to come to Christ and allow Christ to refresh you, to renew your soul. Maybe you've never experienced that relationship with Jesus before and you'd like to have that. Maybe you've never really experienced the forgiveness of Jesus and the love of Jesus in your life. Jesus said, "Hey, I'm here. I'm waiting on you." Jesus says, come to me. Follow me. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus' message to us this morning is, come on. Come on, y'all. Come on, you. Come on and learn from me. He's saying, learn from me. Learn from Jesus. And he can give you that rest for your soul. If you're carrying a burden this morning, if you've got troubles, and you're carrying a load that God never intended for you to carry, we're going to invite you just to let go of that. If you want to do that here at this altar, you can do that here in this quiet time we're going to have in just a moment as Stephen and Nicole sing. You can stay in your seat and do it. But use this time as a prayer time just to be refreshed and renewed. You know, one thing that renews me more than anything else is, man, when I just kind of get off in a quiet place on my own, and I just pray and I say, "Jesus, take this from me. I'm carrying a burden I should have never carried. Forgive me, Jesus. I give it to you." And I lay it down. I let it go. Say, "Let it go." Say it this morning. Let it go. That's what you got to do. You got to let it go. Just let it go. Just give it to God. Let go and let God, right? Sometimes I just have to do this. God, it's yours. That's what I do. God, it's yours. I give it to you. And I don't pick it back up. So Steve and Nicole, sing for us. I want to invite all those that are going to be baptized this morning to go ahead and do that. And we want to invite you to come and sit right here on this front row as we prepare for our baptism now. And this use this time as a time for you just to be refreshed this morning as we get ready for our baptism.
I used to live my life in fear, was worried all the time. From waking up to laying down, I had no peace of mind. The world became a darkened place, a struggle without end. Oh, those bitter times, those were days that I began to understand that I was only a man. I grew up singing songs in church with questions in my head, and turned my back and ran away from God who gave life. And then one night his presence fell. I wept and shook in him. I fell down and cried, "Dear Jesus, rescue me again. I understand I am only a man." What will it be? Oh, so heavy.
Just lay them at my feet.
Just promise you won't leave.
I'll never leave.
So where do I go from here, Lord?
Just follow me, just follow me.
This morning, I want to remind you of something my wife reminded me of this week. Sometimes God speaks to me most clearly through my wife. And I know some of you husbands could testify to that fact as well. And she shared with me a verse from the book of Job. And it says there in the book of Job, where is it found, Christy? Job 42:2, you help me with it. It says there that, God, I know you can do everything. No one can stop your plans. Did I get it right? Why don't you think about that for a moment? Christy's been quoting that verse all week this week in our house. And sometimes it's good to be reminded. It's been a refreshing thing. I thank God for my wife, and hopefully you have a refreshing friend in your spouse. That's where it ought to start. I want you to think about that this morning, how God can do everything. There's nothing that God can't do. Job, if you know anything about Job and the Old Testament, he was a guy that went through a lot of troubles. And he got to the point in his life where he just said, no, God, I know you can do everything. And your plan, nobody can stop. And he had to get to that place where he realized God was in control. And as long as God is in control, there's nothing to worry about. Everything's going to be all right. So I just want you to think about that this morning, okay? And sometimes you just have to speak that. Pray it, live it, knowing that God can do anything. That nobody's going to stop His plans, all right? So let that build your faith this morning. Okay, we have several to baptize this morning. And we're doing good on time this morning. I don't know if Rick's got here yet. Oh, there he is. Hey, Rick, you snuck up on me, man.
I'm here. Johnny on the spot.
Good. I'm going to let you go first then, if you're ready. And, grab a mic there.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah, it wasn't. You're right. All right. Good morning. Everybody doing good? Thank you, Jason. I want you guys to know that the youth of our church, specifically for me right now, because I'm addressing the middle schoolers. Middle schoolers, will you guys come on up? They've taken on a Bible study that I told them Satan ain't going to be happy about. He does not like what they're working on right now. And he's going to try to provide all kinds of distractions and problems and things in their life that's going to try to keep them from completing this the way that God would have them complete it. And I told them to prepare for that, to expect it, to expect it. Already today, he's tried to mess things up, but the kids are on their mark. They've been doing this study. They've been in preparation for this all week long. And we're going to be doing this for the next 9 weeks. And our kids are rocking and rolling with it. They're excited, and I'm looking forward to it. And praise God, we've got a baptism from the middle school group today. And I am honored to bring before you all my good friend, Braxton Caudill. If his family's in here, would y'all like to stand? Braxton. Excellent. You know, I was concerned when we talked about having another baptism here, just right at a month from the last time we did one. When we first got our baptismal here, we were doing them semi-regularly, and it wasn't looking as if it was something we were going to be able to do rather regularly. Well, praise God, I've got four myself to work this morning, one here at the first service and three second service. So God's doing some work in our church, and so praise God, this is some good stuff. Braxton, my friend, I love doing this. This is one of my favorite things. Braxton and I sat down last week, and his mom was with us, and she's already getting choked up, I can see. So we'll just kind of ignore that. Let her do her thing, all right, because God's working in her heart right now. She's real excited. Braxton, I had a good conversation with you, and I learned the depth of your relationship with your Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm very honored to have you here before me, and I want to ask you a couple questions, okay? Can you tell me who it was that died on the cross for your sins?
Jesus.
And because he died on the cross, you have now been completely cleaned of all sins in your life, and that's a pretty good place to be, isn't it? Yeah. And if you were to walk outside today and, God forbid, be hit by a car or something horrible like that and were to die, do you know where you would spend your eternity?
Heaven.
Is that a question or a statement?
Statement.
Yes, it is. Praise God. That's a wonderful place to be, y'all. And it doesn't have to be a question mark in anybody's life. You can know without a doubt where you're going to spend eternity. And, gang, that's a long time. That's a very long time. So we're going to take care of this right now. And Braxton, it is my honor, my friend, you want to cross your arms, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Buried with Christ. And risen to a new life in Him.
Rick, good job, Braxton. You know, baptism is a awesome symbol. It's an outward symbol of an inward commitment to Christ. A commitment to Christ is a very personal thing that changes your heart from the inside out. I hope God's done that for you. If you haven't, I hope you heard the message this morning. You'll do that before the day is over. It's a beautiful thing when someone experiences new life in Christ. And that's what baptism is. It's just a way to let everybody know what happens to us when we become followers of Christ. And it's a way to let everybody know, everybody that's willing to come and see and listen, hey, I'm a follower of Christ now. It's a wonderful witness to family and friends and others of what Christ has done for us. So there's no magic in this water. Same water comes out of your tap at your home. The power is in the blood of Jesus. And that's what this symbolizes, being washed in the blood of Jesus, raised to walk in new life in Christ. That's what this is all about this morning. Samantha's going to come now, aren't you, Samantha? Good to see you. Come on up. And I'm going to ask her family to come now and to stand with her where they are, or they can come on up here. Come on around here, and we'll help you up in here, Samantha. How do you say your last name? Kuntzman. Okay, Samantha Kuntzman. Good. Good, good, good. Well, Samantha, I know I've talked with you recently, and I know you're ready to be baptized, but I just want to ask you two questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected for you? Good. Yeah, he wants to get in on it too, doesn't he? Cute little guy. Another question I want to ask is, have you turned away from your sins and decided to follow Jesus Christ with your entire life? That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Well, congratulations. And I want to baptize you, my sister in Christ, based on your public profession of faith now in Christ. And as a sister in Christ, I baptize you in obedience to the command of Christ, as my sister in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk in unison life. Good job. Welcome to the family. Welcome to your new church family and the family of God. So anyone else this morning? I believe that's all we have in this service. We will be doing another baptism on, way to go, man. Yeah, he's excited for mommy. Awesome. Wow, isn't that an amazing thing? Cool. Well, that was worth it, wasn't it? That was worth this morning, and I hope you've been refreshed. And I don't know anything that brings revival to the heart more than to see someone come to Christ, know Christ in their life. Nothing rejuvenates me more than to see something like that happen in somebody's life. And we're going to do this again. Did I say that? We're going to do it on graduation Sunday on June 6th, first Sunday in June, okay? So I talked with a couple of folks this morning that said that they're looking forward to doing that on June 6th, and I know they're ready. And if you're interested, let me know, and I'll talk to you about it, and we can make it right. So we'll do it. One thing I want to mention to you this morning, be sure to get that connection card in the seat back there in front of you. Fill it out. If you have any prayer requests or anything that you're interested in that you might find in our WhatsApp, write it down so you can sign up so we'll know about that. And some really neat things going on. Please read your WhatsApp. And also, this one other kind of unusual thing I want to say as we close. Okay, not that. Is the only other thing I wanted to mention to you is we want to do something here later in the month of March. May. And something different. And we want you to write on your connection card, what's one question that you wanted to ask a pastor but never had the chance? Okay? Write it down on your connection card, and we'd appreciate it if you write your name down there as well. And we'd like to get that, whatever that question may be, and we want to answer that for you on a Sunday morning, a question and answer time. We're going to do that here real soon, probably in late May sometime. So maybe there's something that you've always wanted a pastor to teach on Sunday morning, but you know, and always wondered about, never had the chance to really hear about, write it down, and we'll do our best to respond to that and to speak on it and answer it one Sunday morning. How's that sound? So that'd be a good, fun thing to look forward to this May. Other neat things going on. So let's all stand, and we'll close in prayer, and then we'll be done. Let's stand, and let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, just thank you for the wonderful time of worship we've had this morning. God, thank you for how you have refreshed our souls, renewed our spirit. God, many of us, as we leave today, we're going to have to be going back to tough times, maybe even in our home situation at work during the week. Some of us are facing some pretty tough decisions this week, some hard things going on. So, God, I just pray that we would trust you with all our hearts, that we'd lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all our ways. And, God, we know when we do that, that you'll straighten our path. And that's the blessing I ask for each and every person that's here this morning. And may we go in peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day and a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. And don't forget your offerings and the connection card. Yeah, man. They keep